It's the Wrestling Caucus. I'm Peter A.
I'm Smiley Ariaga.
And today we're going to talk about Backlash from Lyon, France. What a show and what a crowd. And before we talk about some of the matches on the show, well, it's only five, so we'll talk about all of them. Let's talk about the crowd for a little bit. We were chatting about it just a little bit before we recorded, and I thought the crowd was great. And when you pay your money for a show, you deserve to cheer or blow an air horn, whatever it is. But I did feel at times it was a little too much. It was a little too distracting, and I was getting a little bit of a headache. Especially they kept singing a certain song, and I feel like you should be able to express yourself at a show, but I think you got to show a little bit of resolve, a little bit of restraint, especially when during the main event, like Samantha Irwin is trying to do her job, Irvin, trying to do her job announcing, and the crowd was announcing with her. It's like, okay, please, come
See,
on,
I
just.
only liked that. The only time I liked it when the crowd was, I liked it when the crowd, and I think, and I miss this at wrestling shows, only specifically when the crowd chants with the ref counting to 10. I miss that at wrestling shows. I remember that used to be, I used to see that a lot in wrestling shows. Now, like, well, especially in America, no one gives a shit about the ref counting. They don't really care about the rules per se. They just want to see the next move or spot. But here, I did like it when they were counting with the ref, but I agree with you. They didn't have to chant with Samantha Irving all the time. You feel me?
Yeah, I think maybe part of it is probably cultural. Maybe they're doing
Yeah.
something that usually do in sporting events
And plus, how often do they get a wrestling show in France like this?
Right,
Yeah.
exactly. But I just think that they could have stopped singing at certain times
Yeah, they
or
had a
yeah.
specific song every time a two count happened, in which like they would go one, two, oh, and then they would start like it sounded like This Is Awesome, but I know they were saying something else. But I noticed they had a specific song for two counts, which is kind of funny. But I
Yeah.
know what you mean. If we were there live, if we were there live, I feel like for the first two matches it would have been okay. This is amazing, and for the main event, yeah, but for the whole show. Being in that loud of a crowd probably would have given me a headache. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah. I was ready to get some acetaminophen towards the end of the show, but
Jesus.
I
Yeah.
did like how they were singing the songs of like Randy Orton. And they were going yeet for Jey Uso. They were singing
Every
Cody's song.
time.
Yeah, when Cody's song stopped playing, the crowd started singing a little bit. But they knew when to stop, right? They knew the right time to stop. But I wish they would have shown that sort of energy for the rest of the show. But I don't want to like quote unquote critique a crowd too
No, you
much.
can critique a crowd sometimes. I mean, not so much for this show, but I know what you mean. But you can critique a crowd. Some crowds are stupid. I was just telling you before we recorded. There were old NXT shows. You can go back where these crowds are chanting for nothing. You know what I mean? But no. And sometimes, especially in AEW, these crowds would cheer for dumb shit. So yeah, sometimes you can critique fans and crowds sometimes. You're not a
Like
jerk for that.
those WrestleMania crowds, post-WrestleMania crowds on Raw years
Oh
ago.
yeah.
That's annoying. I'm sorry. Like, why are you look?
In America,
Just
especially, it's
please.
annoying.
Yeah, you don't need to chant for every other thing that's happening. I don't know,
But
but
in France, I
overall,
feel like I
yeah.
understood it because in France, I understood it because they barely ever. This is like what the first pay-per-view they did in France.
Yep,
Like,
I get
this is
it.
their yeah, but I understand. I understand. No, I get you too. I get your point too. It can be a little okay, come on, guys.
Yeah, but overall, I thought it was the ambiance was unbelievable. But okay, so let's talk about the actual show, right? Newsworthy opener with the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga versus KO and Randy Orton in an impromptu street fight. Because the way the show, if you watch the TV, the way that this was kind of booked was for a street fight to happen. So all this was great. It made sense. They weren't gonna do a traditional wrestling match here anyway.
You know something? You want to guess what my only problem with this match was? Literally my only issue?
What?
The fucking fake security guards in the beginning. I thought that was
Oh,
fucking
yeah.
stupid. Because here's the thing. You would get fired if you beat up a security guard. And another thing. If you wanted to do that, I like Nick Aldis coming out and saying, oh, this match is no longer no disqualification. You know a better way to do that? Instead of saying sending a bunch of fake security guards from the performance center, what if you just had the match happen and then Tonga freaking busts Kevin Steen open with a chair, Kevin Owens open with a chair, and he starts bleeding like he did on SmackDown. And then, you know, the bell rings, ding, ding, ding. Everyone starts booing, like, woo. And then Nick Aldis comes out and be like, okay, fuck that. This match is no disqualification. I like that better. It's more official. But the whole fake security guard thing, I didn't like that shit at all.
Yeah, it was a little blown out of proportion in that regard. I think, yeah, like you said, just let it go out of hand, let them brawl a little bit, and let them take things, let them go crazy for a little while.
Yeah, be
And
natural. Do it naturally.
right, like all the security guards, just like, come on, man, this is not here. It was a
It
little bit
gives
crazy.
amateur hour.
Yeah, like if you just had Nick Aldis come out and say, no, absolutely not. Not tonight. We're not doing it like that. No rules. You want to break the rules? All right, no rules. But overall, it was a street fight, very ECW. The crowd was chanting ECW. So
Yeah.
ECW has a worldwide reach, which is
Yeah.
pretty cool.
You know something,
Yeah.
and freaking Tama Tonga, man.
Man.
No, I thought we were just getting we'll talk about it. I thought we were just getting him. Like this guy, my God. And you know something? I was afraid when him and his brother came to WWE that I mean, like, we already have the Usos, but they are completely different than the Usos. Like you see Jey Uso, he is very serious, but he is very fun with the crowd. Tonga is not, he doesn't play games. He
Yeah.
doesn't, and even in the way he sells. Yeah, he's just amazing. I'm glad he's here. I'm
Yeah,
really
let's
glad
talk
he's here.
about it. So at the end, Tangaloa cost KO and Randy Orton the match. And when we previewed the show, I thought it was a good idea to have Solo and Tama Tonga win. But having Tangaloa debut just even adds more heat to the fire. And I kind of liked how Paul Heyman was basically saying after they were, all three of them were jumping on KO and Randy, Paul Heyman was like, hey man, come on, take it easy. So it like, where do you think Paul Heyman kind of falls in this kind of sort of split bloodline?
I'm fighting for my fucking life. That's how Paul Heyman is feeling. Look at him. You see him. You see him in every week. This guy is like stressed out. I feel bad for him because he knows Roman is away, and every week his face just screams, "Help me, help!" Like he literally, literally after, literally when Jey Uso was in the back during Backlash, you see Paul Heyman looking at him like shaking his head, like, "You don't know." You just don't like it. I feel bad for him. I love what they're doing with the bloodline. It's really
Yeah, me
good.
too. I don't think, I think Paul Heyman's gonna align himself with Solo,
Well,
and
he's scared right now. Look at
yeah,
him.
because he kind of went into business for himself, kind of withdrawing Roman from the draft. That wasn't Roman's call. So
What if that was Solo's call? What if, because Solo clearly has an influence on him. So Solo probably, listen, if you don't do that, I'm gonna stick this thumb up your ass.
that's also true. That's also true. So it's kind of, I'm kind of curious to see where they're gonna take this, because it looks like they probably want Roman to come back as a babyface, because the crowd kind of wants to cheer for him now.
He will.
Now they're chanting, "We
Even
want
when he
Roman
was
every
the
time."
biggest heel in the company, he was more cheered than
It's
like.
insane. It's insane. So, yeah, this is good week to week booking here. So not week to week booking. I mean, like, the booking here is great too.
No, you can say that. You can say that. It is
No,
good
because
week
if I say week
booking,
to week
damn it.
booking,
It
if I say
is.
week to week booking means like you're just changing every week. What I mean is like it's good week to week programming. Like you want to watch on
Oh, I
Friday
see what you
to
mean. I
see what's
see.
going to happen. So maybe I just use the term wrong, but yeah, this is great to see the Gorilla of Destiny, in WWE, and they're kind of acknowledging that, oh, they've been taking over Japan for the past, years. So it's cool. you know, I'm not worried. I'm really optimistic to see what they're going to do here, which is awesome. So, an Usos versus Gorillas of Destiny matches. Ooh,
holy
man,
shit.
That'd be something.
Holy shit. That would
here's
be
a match that exceeded my expectations. Curious on your thoughts on it. The triple threat match for the women's championship. We had Bayley, Naomi, Tiffany Stratton. Let me just say, she was outstanding in this match.
Oh, no, she was. Yeah, no. I still think the better match will be down the line is Tiffany and Bayley. But this match made me excited for that one-on-one match, inevitably, because that was ill. Like, I know they probably put Naomi in here because Jade and Bianca had a good night. So they wanted, like, the third person in their group to have a good night, too. Like, at least have a good showing. But, like, I heavily agree. And plus, I told you I wasn't that excited for a triple threat. But then I forget that WWE actually knows how to do multi-person matches in a good way. And this match was, this was excellent. Bayley's amazing. Naomi, they showcased the better parts of her game. And Stratton, this was a good showing for her. This was lit.
Yeah, everything she did just looked great. It's like she was wrestling for a decade, but she's pretty green.
But when she works more with people like Bayley,
yeah,
she's gonna be 100%, fine.
100%, 100%. So she's picking up good things, and I think they're just showcasing what she's good at. You know, she's a great athlete, a lot of charisma. So you focus on the same thing. We'll talk about it later with Jay Cargill. You focus on the strengths and you hide the negatives. You know, but don't see any. I don't see too many negatives from Tiffany Stratton as of right now. She's really incredible. And what do you think of the kind of Bayley and Naomi kind of teamed up on Tiffany towards the end? They did. She did her moonsault, but then she landed on her feet, right? But then they kind of hit her with like a 3D.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. So
that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and it looks like. I think Tiffany can use that as heat, saying they you know, they were, it was two against one. It wasn't a fair fight and everything like that. So it kind of allows for, I don't think Tiffany got pinned here. Bayley rolled up Naomi they kind of protected Tiffany here. So hopefully, I think in the King of the Ring, she should at least get to the final four or maybe she'll win. I don't know.
She
because
should
she
beat
was
Naomi and then she'll be the Queen of the Ring and then face Bayley, probably.
Sure. But don't think Tiffany should be champion tomorrow, but they should definitely do something with her. You know, the Queen of the Ring is a good next step for her. Any other thoughts on this match before we move on?
Oh, no, it was really good. I mean, I'm excited for Tiffany and Bayley down the line.
Yeah. Here's another very story-centric match. We had Damian Priest, Jey Uso, World Heavyweight Championship. I thought this was kind of like a better version of the Jimmy and Jey match from WrestleMania.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But I know on paper, him and Jimmy can have a better match than this. And this was good.
Yeah.
Jimmy's amazing. I hope he gets better soon. But like, even this, I mean, I still don't like the fucking super kick party. You know why. But it was. Jay is amazing, and Damian, Damian is, you know, I don't know, Damian's not green. I think Damian has gotten a lot better over the years, and he looked even better working with a veteran like Jay. So this match was good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, but I think that, like, the kicking spot was kind of cool in this, because, one, it was, like, one portion of the match. It wasn't, like, the core of the match, like Jimmy and Jay was, and the Judgment Day getting involved when Damian Priest doesn't want them to get involved, which I thought was interesting. Yeah,
I like that because like their arguments look believable. It doesn't look childish. I kind of thought it was genuinely funny hearing, freaking Damian Priest yell at JD McDonagh being like, "Yo, use your big head for once, bro. Get out of here." Like, actually, like, yeah, he really like is annoyed with this guy. It's very but it was believable.
And after Damian won, Finn and JD was like jumping on Jay, and Damian was like, "No, no, 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 no. Hey, stop, stop, stop." And I guess like the idea is like, without Rhea, they're like this, everyone's kind of going off the rails. But
yeah, everyone's going crazy. They just instantly started jumping.
You know what's also interesting? Like last year, Backlash, Damian Priest was, you know, in the very in kind of like the drawing card of the show with Bad Bunny. You know, two bodyguards beating the shit out of each other. Look how far he's come in a year. You know, Judgment Day was like one of the hottest things, and they kept his momentum very. They kept him very strong for a year, and now he's the world champion. That's kind of crazy. I love
what
seeing
that. Judgment Day turns on Damian. No, no, it is amazing. It is pretty amazing. It is like Damian Priest. He went from being a guy that shot an invisible bow and arrow, but not in a cool way like Brody Lee did, in a goofy way. But now he's like, he's a star. But what's really cool, I imagine like if the Judgment Day turns on Damian Priest and Bad Bunny teams up with Priest to face Finn and JD.
Yes, I'm with that. I'm totally with that. Do you think he'll be a babyface by the Puerto Rican Day Parade?
About hell a month away from that? Yeah, they're not going to boo Damian Priest. Puerto Rican fans, they're not going to boo him. No way. Yeah. They'll boo JD McDonough. Fuck him. But they're not going to boo Damian Priest.
I think it'll be cool for Judgment Day to have a float at the Puerto Rican Day Parade this year.
No, but like, imagine like during the float, you see JD wearing like a Puerto Rican shirt. He's just like so out of sorts. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
I'm surprised I didn't see Drew McIntyre get involved at all.
Yeah.
I was expecting him to kind of do something to
well,
Jay.
CM Punk wasn't here, so he had no reason to.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm glad. They kept it really simple, just kept it, you know, kind of teasing more dissension between the Judgment Day. So maybe on Raw tonight, they'll, you know, do something there. Maybe King of the Ring or Glasgow, Class of the Castle in June. Maybe that's the match. But yeah, we'll see. All right, moving on to the women's tag team title match. Bianca Belair and Jade versus the Kabuki Warriors. I absolutely love this match. Again, this overachieved because, you know, it's kind of hard. The past 5 years with the women's tag team titles, they've tried certain things and it just never, nothing was ever, they didn't really care about it all that much. They kind of just put the belt on some people for a couple of years and then, you know, whatever. But now I really think that they're really trying because you don't just put Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, two people that you're really elevating. One person's already a star. The other one, you're trying to make a superstar and just put meaningless belts on them. You're not going to do that. It's a waste of time and money. So I'm glad that they put the belts on these two girls and hopefully start doing something more with the women's tag division or doing something. Instead
just
of
booking
just
like a fucking actual tag division and make more actual tag teams. That would be nice.
Yeah, or that, or just dump the belts because there's no point in just having people walk around with belts that no one really cares about. So hopefully
I
now.
I like your idea better.
Yeah, yeah. But what'd you think of this match overall?
Oh, yeah, no, no. This is probably one of the best women's tag team matches I've ever seen, at least for these titles. Like, yeah, obviously, Jade Cargill's still learning, but Jesus, I can tell her working with Bianca more is gonna make her better. And there were some parts in this match where it's like, oh, okay, ooh. But the towards the end was probably some of my favorite. There was this insane, insane move freaking with Jade Cargill. She had, I think, Kyrie in a wheelbarrow, and then Bianca took a DDT. She DDT'd her, and then Jade picked her up into a German suplex. Like, it was sick. I'm like, how is that not their finish?
It was nuts. Yeah, the only thing about this match is like there were times, I think it's just an issue with modern tag team wrestling matches. Sometimes I couldn't tell who was legal. I couldn't, and I don't think the ref could either. It was very hard to keep
up. Actually, the ref, yo, WWE actually also has good refs too. They have actual referees that do their fucking job. The referee made it very clear, Kyrie, get out of here. You're not legal.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew, because the ref was good, but I know what you mean. Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. I've never had that issue watching an FTR match, but I know what you mean. Yeah, like, there are some times where, okay.
Yeah, it's just like certain things are just, you know, they get crazy and it can't really keep up. I don't even know if Bianca was legal when she took the.
No, she was.
I was like, all right, fine. But overall, I loved it. I thought it was really good. But do you think, here's the thing, like, who do you think is going to be their first opponents? You do Kabuki Warriors again, I guess?
I think Jade, you know something? What I really want to happen more than anything is your idea is they it literally Raw or SmackDown happens and you see Bianca and Jade in the ring with trash cans and they just dump both belts and they say, fuck this. Like, we're going to run this division without this bullshit. Like, yeah, the women's title division. We want both women's titles. I don't know. I just don't want to see it. I'm glad they have the titles, but yeah, it's hard to see any long-term plans with these titles because they don't really have a women's tag division.
Yeah,
they barely
maybe,
have a tag division.
You maybe do something with Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark. You put them together again or something.
I like Shayna Baszler as a singles person. I don't like Zoe Starks as her partner. I don't even know if I'm a Zoe Starks fan, if I'm being honest.
And who are those? Those two Scottish girls from NXT, they got drafted. I forgot their names. But the you know what I'm talking about? The one redhead and the...
You're not talking about Gigi Dolin, are you?
Not Gigi Dolin. No, there was these two Scottish girls. These two, I don't know if they're Scottish. There's two European girls. Anyway, it's not important. But it just goes to show you that they got to do more with... women's tags. I could barely name, you know, Piper Niven, Chelsea Green. I don't know if they're still a team.
They don't
maybe...
look like they don't really have a women's tag division. Like,
yeah,
I said, they barely have a tag division. They barely have a tag division. They have two tag belts. They need a women's tag division. Like, they can have a badass women's, they have two women's titles. I don't think you really need a women's tag division. You don't, like, I don't know. That's just me though.
Yeah. Oh, here's a Kayden Carter and Katana Chance. Oh, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, those girls. That's what I was talking about. Maybe they could be an opponent for Jade and Bianca, at least, you know. I don't know.
And then what?
I don't know. Oh, that's it's up to them. It's up to WWE what they want to do with these things. Okay. Main event time. Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles, undisputed WWE title. I absolutely love this match. This was like a G1 climax final. There was a, you know, some good storytelling here. The AJ was kind of working over Cody's shoulder because the commentary
in
his back too. I thought they did a great job with that. The one thing that I didn't really love,
and I think I know what it is,
the burning hammer spot. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they had to do an AEW. They kick out of a fucking burning. How often do you see a burning hammer on WWE TV?
Last time I saw it was
out
that
of it at one.
Was that Cruiserweight Classic match, Brian Kendrick and Kota Ibushi?
Yeah, and you know what made that move even better? Not knowing just that he did a sick burning hammer, but they had an epic two count. You really thought the match was over. They could have done that with a crowd like this, missing out on an epic two count like that. That is literally the one blemish on this that this match didn't need. That's literally, but I'm going to get that out of the way because this match was actually fucking excellent.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is that I don't think the WWE audience knows the significance of the Burning Hammer and whose finish that is. I don't think they know a lot about Kenta Kobashi. They don't talk about him a lot on WWE TV, so there's no way that the larger WWE audience is going to know. You know, it's just another move to them, to some people.
Exactly, but you know how you rectify that? You have them do the move in that match, epic two count, and while they're selling on the floor, you have the announcers go, that move belonged to Kenta Kobashi. Very few people have kicked out of that. Easy. But no, you had to do the AEW thing where he gets up at one, and then, but the fucking Cody Cutter gets a two count. That's, but like I said, that is the one thing about this match that I thought was like, what the fuck is, why? Because Cody was selling his back. Like, they had that amazing... I think I'm clipping. Like,
no, you're not.
Cody had that... they had that amazing spot where Cody is about to superplex him. He's doing a vertical suplex up in the air. And his shoulder and his back give out. AJ lands miraculously. And then he instantly goes for his back with that great electric chair spot. Like, that was things like that in this match were, there were so many little things in this match that were amazing, but kicking out of a burning hammer at one, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do. Can we just stop doing kick out at one spots? Like in certain main events, like this, I don't know. It was the one thing I didn't like about that Kenny and Ospreay match. It was, well, other than Kenny breaking his neck, but yeah, I don't know. That was one part of the match I thought was dumb.
Yeah, a kick out of one spots I don't love, and same, like, they used to do this in the '80s. The kick out of three spot I never really liked. I think you should do a better job of selling a loss, but you know, because it's all egos and what yeah. Have you,
it, oh yeah, well look. Oh well, that's just petty. I like the 2 point, like almost three counts. Like that's, I don't know, man. Yeah.
There
like,
was some good false finishes in this match too, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Overall, it was great. I wasn't a fan of the Bernie Hammer thing. If next year, if they put Kenta Kobashi in the Hall of Fame or something, and then the announcers talk about all that stuff, then yeah, it's a different story.
Kenta Kobashi should have walked down the ramp and then smacked Cody Rhodes and AJ at the same time and walk out.
Yeah. All in all about Backlash, I think that 1 o'clock start on a Saturday afternoon is the way to go and keep pay-per-views just under 3 hours. That's it for me. Like, I love that. It's perfect.
You see, that part I loved. I was literally only able to watch the first match with you because I had to go to work and shit. But no, yeah, that's what I hated about having to go to work that day, because it was perfect. The pay-per-view at 1 p.m. and it's only 3 hours. Like,
and King of the Ring starts at 12 o'clock Eastern.
God damn, I hope Eastern. I'm not working that day. I hope I'm not working.
Perfect. I love lunchtime pay-per-views. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right. It's the Wrestling Caucus. I'm Peter A.
I'm Smiley Ariaga. Stop doing kick out at one spots.
Yes. And you can listen to the Wrestling Caucus wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on the socials. Both links are in the description. All right. Later days.